Blog Talk Radio.
You got it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this evening segment of Hey Ash Radio. Otherwise, as we call this segment, Love, Forgiveness, and Second Chances. This is Valerie, your host, and I am so honored and grateful to be here tonight. I can say when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out and magnifies his name. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, Father, and we come before your courts with praise, thanking you for another opportunity and thanking you for another chance at life. For you truly are the air that we breathe, Lord God, the song that we sing, the name that we magnify, the one that we look to, Father. In times of trouble, in times of need, in times of joy, Lord God, in times like these, God, we give you praise. Father, I cover each and every person, Lord God, on this line and anyone listening in, Father, with the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. We apply the blood to our lives on tonight, God, knowing that, Father, when you look at us, you look for the blood of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. I give you all of the glory, all of the honor and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, I welcome you here tonight. As I've been meditating on the word and reading God's word today and spending time with him, I just have to say I'm just so grateful. I was weeping right before the call came in, just thinking about his goodness, just thinking about his tender mercies, just thinking about his love. His loving kindness is better than life. And I was thinking about pondering just on the heart of God, his heart. And as I was going through the scriptures, I begin to think about our heart. Jeremiah 17, I'm going to start with this one and build on this. And it says from verses 5 through 10, then saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and make flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he comes, for her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, how blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. You know, I was meditating on that because of the times that we're living in, and as believers, we truly believe that Jesus is coming back for his bride, coming back for the church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And as we are in uncertain times right now and seeking answers from God, just about every person that I may have spoken to or prayed with, we fall on that scripture from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And our land certainly needs healing. But today I was pondering the thought, because I've always seemed to come back to this. It drops in my spirit, and I ask God, you know, because in 1 John, it describes God as love. You say that God is love. And I ask the question, God, why did you love Jacob and you hated Esau? I never understood that. And then he took me all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Why did he accept Abel's sacrifice, his gift, but he didn't accept Cain's? And as I was spending time with God today, he said some things in my spirit that just brought me even closer to him. You know, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God when they were in the garden, the first thing they did was they took fig leaves to cover themselves when they found out they were naked. When God, during his creation, in the book of Genesis, he talked about that he gave them charge over the earth, over the animals, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. And out of the ground, he grew herbs and fruit trees. And he told them that this shall be for your meat, the fruit and the herbs. But he was supposed to take care of the garden and all of the creation that God had created. And he placed a blessing upon their lives, and he told them to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. He gave Adam a charge. But he told him, the fruit, herbs shall be for your meat, for your food. And so when it came time for Cain and Abel, Cain was the tiller of the ground and Abel of the livestock. Cain brought his sacrifice of fruits and vegetables, of what he grew out of the land, to God as a sacrifice. Abel brought the first of the stock of the animals and brought it before God as a sacrifice. I hope y'all following me, because I did write this down, but I'm really just kind of speaking out of my spirit, because going back to Cain and Abel, going back to Adam and Eve, when they found themselves naked and they made themselves something to cover them, God took one of the animals And he made them clothing, a covering, but it came with a sacrifice and the death of a lamb, the death of an animal, and blood was shed, cover them. Now, for many years, actually until I really thought about it today, he wasn't just clothing them from their physical nakedness. He was clothing them spiritually. Something had to die, cover them with the sacrifice of blood. Even back then, when they messed up, God already had a plan. And the book of Genesis is already pointing to Christ being the sacrificial lamb. Cover our sins. And so, when it came time for Cain and Abel to offer up a sacrifice, God honored Abel's. He respected Abel's sacrifice because it was a sacrifice of blood. Cain, what he offered as a sacrifice, wasn't the sacrifice that God had ordained. When you jump over to the book of Malachi, and God is talking to his people, he says, "You have robbed me." And they ask, "How have you robbed me?" "In tithes and in offerings." But tithes and offerings back then, they brought of the produce, they brought the fruit, they brought things so that there would be meat in the storehouse. At the very beginning of creation, the fruits and the herbs to be the meat. And so what Cain was bringing was not a sacrifice. He was bringing a tithe. He was bringing an offering to God when God was requiring a sacrifice. So that answered my question today about why he respected Abel's gift, his sacrifice. And he told Cain that if he did better, it wasn't that he rejected Cain, but Cain didn't follow what God required. And Cain slew his brother. And from the ground, his blood was speaking to God. There is life in the blood. The blood is alive. The blood has a voice. And so then I looked at Noah, because when God told him that he was going to cause the flood to come upon the earth, and he told him to bring in all the animals and bring in the food, you know, to feed the animals. They was in that ark. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and they were in the ark for 11 months. But the first thing Noah did, when they came off the ark, was he took some of the best animals, the unspotted animals, the clean animals, And he offered up a sacrifice to God. The scripture says, that when he offered up the sacrifice, God was so pleased with it that he consumed the sacrifice. It was like a sweet smelling aroma in God's nostrils. And he was pleased with the sacrifice that Noah offered up. And that was the first time that God said that they could eat meat. Any moving thing on the earth shall be for their meat. Put everything under Noah's authority. He gave him meat to eat. He gave him the fruit of the ground, everything. And then you have Moses that when God gave him instructions for the tabernacle and he gave him the law, the Ten Commandments, Moses covered everything with blood, sprinkled the blood on the people. And it was became a tradition that the priest, whenever they went into the temple, they brought in a sacrifice for the people that would cover the sins of the people. They themselves had to be cleaned. They had to be right with God before they could even enter the temple. God had given them an example, a model of what heaven was like, gave them instructions on how to build the temple and what he wanted. And those plans had to be followed out. But all of these sacrifices pointed to Christ, the soon coming king at that time. And look at Abraham. When God was asking him for a sacrifice and he was willing to give up his son, and God saw the heart of Abraham, and he substituted his son for a ram in the bush. But still, it was the sacrifice. It was the blood that was shed that pointed to Christ. God already had a plan. But I still had this question. Why did you love Jacob? And the scripture says that you hated Esau. And God, you love. John says that in the beginning, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was created for his benefit. the scriptures also talk about potter and the clay and the vessels that he creates, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, vessels of gold, and then the common vessels. But they're all made for his purpose. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Many are called, but few are chosen. God says he's a God of love. And while we try to ponder these things out and wonder why, God, why do you bless people with houses and lands, and it appears that they're not even serving you, God? Why would you do that? And we're trying to walk in your ways, and we're struggling and going through trials and tribulations. And but Jeremiah said, the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, blessed the man who trust in God. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. God does things and he don't have to answer to us, but he loves us. He's love. And one thing that he gave to every man, every soul, was choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Had to go every year to bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, so the sins of the people could be forgiven. But when Jesus shed his blood, when he hung his head and said, God, it is finished, and he took the sacrifice and applied it to the mercy seat, all those who draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to them. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Wow. When we think of the goodness of Jesus, when our minds are stayed on God, Team says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord, our God. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him us up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Therefore take no thought what we shall eat or what we shall drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles speak, for your heavenly Father know what ye have need of all these things first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you think about the stories of the lives of the men and women who serve God, sometimes it seems like it's unfair as to why he chooses one or prefers one over the other. Because traditionally, the blessing would go to the first son. And looking at David, the weakest one, so to speak, the smallest one in stature out of his brothers, that God would choose him to be king. But David was a worshiper. Yes, he watched over the sheep while the others were soldiers. While David was all by himself with those sheep, worshiping God. David loved God so much, and he was so excited by God, he danced himself right out of his clothes and didn't care who was looking. He was praising his God. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. God loves the worshipers. He loved those who would praise him. Thought about, perhaps that was the same with Cain and Abel. That Abel drew so close to God that he knew exactly what God wanted. He was seeking after God. God knew between Esau and Jacob that Jacob would follow his laws. That Jacob wasn't the strong one, but he was the one that was closest to God's heart. Esau drew toward his father, but Esau also rebelled and went into other lands and married other women outside of his race, outside of his nation. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we can judge somebody, you know, as the scriptures say, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And we'll look at somebody and we'll think that, man, they don't really have it going on. They look all broken. They always going through something, always got problems. Why don't they get a job? What's wrong with them? Why they out in the streets begging and hungry? Oh, but God looks at the heart. He doesn't care about all those things that we do or things that we have, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. God looking at the heart. And so when he tells us not to think of ourselves more highly than we are, to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he would lift us up, it's about our relationship with him. It's about the shed blood of his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. and all that he's done for me. Because, to be honest, I remember where I came from. And I remember the things that I used to do. I remember my life without him. And I remember the journey. I remember when I felt so low that I didn't deserve anything from God. But when I called out to him, he answered. Because we don't choose him. He chooses us. But he sees our hearts. And a broken spirit and a contrite heart he would not despise. I say this all the time, that his arms are still outstretched. And when we walk away or we slip away, he loves us so much that he draws us back to himself. But he never takes away our choice, our choices. We don't have any reason to be envious or jealous, angry, or covetous of what anyone else has or what anyone else does, how it seems like God may favor someone over us. I'm just speaking of myself because I'm responsible for my choices and I'm responsible for my heart and I'm responsible for whether or not I'm going to trust him and not man. I'm responsible for whether I'm going to wake up and give him thanks and praise and to glorify his name. I'm the one for me that I would cast all my burdens upon him, not be anxious for anything but to trust him, to praise him, to glorify him, to follow after his ways, to deny myself and take up my cross to follow after him. So I'm pointing the finger at myself. To thine own self be true. He's done so much for us. So much. Hebrews 9 reads, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For that was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing this mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was still standing, which was a figure of the time then present in which we offer both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the taming to the conscience. We stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. My God, the perfecter of our faith, the one who laid down his life that we might be partakers of the tree of life, the Son of God, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. And all we have to do is turn, if we walked away, just turn back. Because he paid for our sins. We're covered with the blood. And if we know that his shed blood covers us, and if we draw nigh to him as he draws nigh to us, there is absolutely nothing, according to his will, that we can ask. And he will not give. We're in partnership with him. Team 7 says, I'm going to start reading here and read a little further down. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. This is what would glorify the Father, that we bear fruit. He's the vine. We cannot do anything if we're separated from him. So hold on. Stay close. Earlier today about being focused, about keeping our eyes on Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world if we stay connected to the vine, if we love one another, if we're bearing fruit. Don't stop now just because the world is troubled, because the waters are troubled. we look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. God is love. And he created us in his image and in his likeness. And therefore, the kingdom of God, which is joy, peace, and righteousness, is dwelling on the inside of us. Now, we do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what a mind to have to keep our mind fixed and focused on him. May God bless this word. May you be encouraged by this word, knowing that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen and amen. The lines are open.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Tonight was the night that God sent himself into the presence and talked about many, many things. But it reminded me when I was in school in a doctoral degree. Many things she said tonight. I remember writing some of those things down. She was speaking. I reached up and pulled one of my old books that I used to study out of. I said, wow, God is still God. But I want to take the time to say to her and to those who are on the line with us, my sister, I thank God for what you did tonight. But it took me to another level. And I said, well, Lord. And I said, well, one of the things I've come to find out, when I had this incident, I call it an incident, the stroke, when God showed me something about him, he said, you're going to be just like, it was talked about. They're going many times, he's going to say, you can't do this and you can't do that. He said, but to whom much is given, much is required. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I love people. He said, and that's why you're doing what you're doing. I believe somebody on the same line said the same thing. But the deeper we get into the word of God, the more we get to recognize who he is, who God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is, he brings us to a perfect perfection with him. That's why I read, I'm studying, and I said, God, and I'm going to let somebody else come on and speak. I said, Lord, I said, now, this man called, who was the greatest sinner of that time, his name was Saul, but you named him Paul. And he went through some changes, some real changes, Lord. And she said, she began to raise the question at her teaching tonight. Why God? See, God has a reason for everything he does, but it's perfect. It's perfect. And I said, Lord, help me to understand what happened to me. I said, I was out when I had to, well, in the Bible they call it a stroke. I said, well, I had that stroke. Half of my body was paralyzed. I said, they had to tie me down every morning, they had to tie me down with a rope while I was in the hospital. And I said, Lord, every time a dog figure would come near me, the presence of a hand would come. And on the sixth day when I woke up, God said before then, said, do you now trust me? I said, yes, Lord. And I was at the boundary of hell. I understand what she's talking about. But when I looked at the book and I saw the trail of blood that led all the way from the Old Testament where we are right now, it led all the way when Adam and Eve did wrong. And God sent that blood trail all the way to Calvary. The line's open. I'm over one or two lines right quick. We got about 13 minutes. Somebody else may want to say something. Amen. Thank you, sister. God bless you, teacher. God bless you, teacher. The line over to you. The line is open right now. Go ahead. Hello. The line is open. Go ahead. Anybody else?
You know, one thing that I did want to mention about that question that I asked about Jacob and Esau, just in the one about Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that they were chosen.
Chosen. That's
God
it.
Has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And he had a plan for Jacob. He had a plan for Abel.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan and a purpose.
Amen.
For you and I.
Amen. Amen.
Just like Jesus came with a purpose and a plan.
That's right. Likewise.
And
Amen.
The plan that he has for us is to bear fruit and to love one another.
Amen. 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 Your line is over. Somebody else. Amen. If she's through, somebody else. It's your program, not mine. Go ahead, sister.
No, I'm through.
Well, the line's over. Nobody want to say anything. I can understand sometimes. I mean, this is live on KASK radio station. We're not trying to pull punches. We're talking about what God is doing right now. Not tomorrow, what he's doing right now. And we live in a time right now where there's all kind of confusion that's going on. You look up, you see.
I'm thankful for her blessed reading.
Are you there? Hello.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Somebody else, the line is open. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sister Batter, for great teaching tonight. Truly enjoyed it. You really covered a lot of areas tonight to make us really think. So thank you for really digging deep and teaching us God's word tonight. Truly enjoyed it. And really to that time. Thank you, Sister Batter.
Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? The line is open.
Thank you, Sister Valerie, for a great word. I've been waiting all day long since early today when you say you had something for us tonight. And I want to say thank you for delivering a great message tonight. Great message. Thank you. Love you so much, sister. Thank you.
That was a great message, Sister Valerie. Teaching about Adam and me and us today. And whatever they did, God still loves us and wants us to love him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. 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 Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody else?
I know I gave a whole lot of word tonight, but
no, you
I'm
didn't,
telling
sister.
You once you start studying it and start reading it and God be exposing truth, you just get so full. Like I was just overflowing with his word and knowing that some of the questions that I've been having for years seem like, you know, he said, if any man lack understanding. And the one thing that I love about his word is that it's so alive. You know, like mm-hmm. you can read something in it one day, go back and read something, the same word another day, and it got a different revelation where he just exposing truth, where God is alive in his word. And the thing that I got most out of it, that if I keep drawing nigh to him, he going to draw nigh to me. And if I spend time in praise and worship, it draws him to us. When he hear us glorifying him and praising him, especially in the midst of adversity, especially in the midst of everything that's going on, when we bypass and able to just seek him for the answers. And so it was just encouraging to me, and I just pray that the word was encouraging to you as well. Just feasting upon the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't even realize I had talked that long.
That's all right. It's your program. You do what the Lord told you to do. And I'm just back here. I'm here to back here. But God has used you as He always has. And as I was saying about the book, when I pull some of my old books on the in my office, I pull some down. It shows where the snake pass started from. It shows all the way to Nora. It shows where everything. I said, wow, she's doing some real teaching. But I remember when I was at the school on Main Street, and a woman there, I respected that woman. That woman was some Dr. Barbara, and she was a teacher. She was a teacher. When she taught the word, you understood. She spoke five or six different languages. She knew how to play the piano. You know, to put the test on you. And I learned so much from her. So much. Somebody said, why are you with the woman? Because God appointed me there for the time. And I did exactly what he told me to do. And right now I'm doing what he told me to do. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to please mankind. I'm about pleasing my heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say this to everybody. Look beyond yourself and say, Lord, I can't make it without you. And every time I lay down, I always say these prayers. My mother told me this. Now, lay me down to sleep. I pray to Lord, but die before I wake. I pray to Lord, my soul will take. And I go to sleep. I thank God. But the night was a great night. And some of the things she said, did anybody take any note tonight? It was a night. But I want to tell you something else you can do. You can go on the Facebook, and it's right there. Under the KSK radio station. And you can listen to it. Hear yourself saying something. And I know sometimes on what we do from this side of the river, on the side, what we're doing, we speak of dominion. She was speaking of dominion tonight. And when you talk dominion, something, when you're in rulership, you're doing something that God has called you to do. And one thing I will say, my God, my God, my God, what kind of God we serve? We serve a merciful God, a God that loves us, a God that said. Now, one thing she said that I got tickled. She said, I just want to know, and that's the kind of person I am. I want to know what happened, and the more you study, the more you find out. Let me shut up. Somebody else out there, the lines are wide open. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Sister Valerie, you still in Valerie? You got about 2 minutes left.
Hallelujah, Brother Hannah.
Amen. How you doing? I am blessing
I'm fine.
You.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you. I thank the Lord for you. Well, I'm going to give it back to
you.
Hello?
I thank the Lord for you.
I thank the Lord for all of us. Because we're moving in place right now. For God is calling unification. Us to not see ourselves better than somebody else. See, I know who I am. I know what God is doing through me. I know what God is doing right now. And the more I press in, the more I have a fight with darkness. Darkness does not love us. Darkness, that lie, like I told the brother, I said, if you stay on the right side of me, I can block for you. But if you go on the other side, I can't. I think that's the attitude of all of us should take one for another. We're going to block the enemy. In other words, we're going to stand in the light and let the light shine on us. So if you stay on the right side of us, we're on your team. But when you're on the left side, nothing we can do for you. And let me tell you something. It was a plan before God said, let that be as he said. And the deeper you get into the word, the more you get involved into it. My God, let me shut up. Sister Valerie, you got 2 minutes. I don't want to take up all your time. 2 minutes. Oh, glory. But we'll be on tomorrow night again, 8 o'clock. And I'm going to come on the program where my brother is. I'm going to spend time with him tomorrow night and move up to where I'm doing right now. Valerie, go ahead. Teacher?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for the intimate times that we are able to spend with you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you have allowed us a season, Lord, for many of us, Lord God, have been so busy working, Father, taking care of our families, Lord. And in this hour, Lord God, we seem like everything is upside down, inside out, backwards, Lord God. But then you called us, Lord. We hear you calling, Lord, for us to come close, Lord God, for you to speak to us, and Father, for us to just love on you, Lord God, and that we can get back, Father, to abiding in you, Lord God, and just spending that time alone with you. I thank you, Lord God, for those, Lord God, all over the world, Lord God, who join together in prayer. Oh, what a circle, Lord God. What Pastor Hunter talked about, you unifying us, Lord God, and there's nothing greater than a group of people to come together to pray, to stand in agreement, Lord God, on behalf of others and on behalf of this world, Lord God. Father, we lift up the leaders of this world, Lord God, and we ask that you withdraw their hearts to you, God. Father, we pray, Lord God, that salvation, Lord God, would be afforded to every man, God. It is your desire that none would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for the word, Lord God. I pray that it would go into homes, Lord, that it would touch lives, that it would let people know of a loving Savior, Lord God, who shed his blood, that we might have the right, that we might be able to be partakers, Lord God, of eternal life, the life that you've given us, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for revelation, Lord God, and I pray that you continue to give us understanding of your word, of your desires, of your purpose, of your plan, Lord God, as you've laid out, God, in your word. I pray, Lord God, that as we lift up the name of Jesus, that men and women, boys and girls, will be drawn unto you. I thank you, Father, that you've called us, Lord God, by your name, that you've chosen us, Lord God, to bear fruit, Lord God, that you've instilled in us, Lord God, the glory of your name, that we, Father, as your children, will let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, Lord God, and that you would be glorified. Not for ourselves, Lord God, but for who you are, the author and the finisher of our faith, the lily of the valley, Lord God, the bright and morning star, Father, the fairest of 10,000, Lord God, the one who sits high and looks low, Lord God, and the one whose arms are still stretched out, Father, drawing and keeping us, Lord God, protecting us. We thank you for peace. We thank you for love. We thank you for forgiveness, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for abiding in us and allowing us and helping us, Lord God, to bear fruit. We can do nothing apart from you, Lord God, and so we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. I pray that your saints, oh God, will have a peaceful night, that we dream dreams, Lord God, that we've never dreamed before, that we will see you in our sleep, Lord God, and we will rise up, Lord God, and call you blessed. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of Jesus. As I bid